This morning's title is I Am. When I was growing up in South Korea, we started to learn English from junior high, and you're thinking, you still cannot speak well. Let me explain. Because the teachers who taught English, they learned their English from Japanese teachers who were pretty much from the Japanese occupation from that started in 1909 to 1945. For 36 years, Japanese people occupied Korea. So their pronunciation is mingled with the Japanese and Korean together. So they pretty much butchered English word pronunciation. Now you know why my grammars are broken, and why, now you know why my pronunciation is horrible. Okay, I have an excuse, right? Well, I'm a foreigner. However, some people, I'm finding out many Americans who were born here, raised here in native language, American English, they make a lot of mistakes that I can find. And I think, you went to school? Did you go to grammar school? And anyway, here's one example. Y-O-U-R, your, right? It's a second person possessive adjective, right? Used to describe something as belonging to you. Yours is always followed by a noun, such as, what is your name? People don't have the problem. But the next one is a problem. Your, same pronunciation is Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. They, instead of using this, they're using Y-O-U-R. Because Y-O-U-R apostrophe R-E comes with, it's a contraction of a you are. And it's often followed by a present particle, such as you are welcome. Not Y-O-U-R welcome. Do you know how many people make that mistake?
A lot.
When I get a text, and they write Y-O-U-R welcome. Really? And you have a college degree? And professors didn't stop you? And they make a, best part is, they make a fun of my broken English. Guess what? Joke is on them. English lesson, basic English lesson by the foreigner, no extra charge. The reason why I'm saying all this is because as I study this portion of the scripture, repeated word, I am by Jesus. Of course, his I am has a whole lot more meaning than the one I learned from Korea. You know, I'm a boy, this is a dog, that is a cat, that kind of thing, right? It's very difficult for our Western mind to understand what the true nature of this Jesus I am is. Hebrew, ancient Hebrew people did not have a problem understanding. We are the one who has a problem. Jesus used these two words to proclaim that he is the Messiah in the Gospels. The people around the world may not have understood what he meant, but these ancient Jewish religious leaders understood it precisely and hated him all the more. So let's step into the woman's court where Jesus previously extended mercy and forgiveness to the woman who was caught in adultery. We'll stop here and we will pray. Father, more than what you give to us, we want to know you. We want to see you, who you are, not just what you can do for us. That is our desire. Teach us so that we may know you, we may understand who you are, and we may understand what you have done for us through Jesus. Perfect Son of God became the ultimate sinner. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. Anoint our heart. Especially anoint the one who speaks. and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we are praying for the President Obama and President-elect Trump, Donald Trump. They may do what is right in your sight with the wisdom and insight that comes from you. Let them be obedient to you. And praying that the revival that happened from your house, the church. And we also pray for our troops around the world, especially the one in the harm's way. And law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Another police officer got killed. Father, protect them. And minister to those whose family members got killed and their friends. You speak to them and come. Verse 12 of chapter 8 in the book of John. In case you don't know what we are doing, we are going through all four Gospels at the same time. We call it harmony of the Gospel. And all four Gospels in chronological order so we can follow the sequence of the Jesus teaching to us in proper way. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. Verse 15, You judge according to the flesh. Note that word, according to the flesh. I judge no one. What is he meant is a parenthesis, according to the flesh. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. We'll stop there. Our Lord Jesus proclaimed that he is the light of the world. Light and darkness are the recurring theme in the book of the John, Gospel of John. God is light, while the Satan is the power of darkness. People love either light or darkness, and this love controls their actions and their eternal destination. Are you with me? Depending on what you like, God's way or Satan's way, your action will come alive. And then also that's where you will go. You will go. During the Feast of Tabernacle, there was a great ceremony called the Illumination of Tabernacle, as you can see in this picture, which involved the lighting ritual of the four golden oiled lamps and the court of women. This lamp was huge menorah, which were 75 feet high, that was equivalent to a six-story building. And lighting the temple at night, it reminded people of the pillar of the fire that had followed the Israeli people in the wilderness journey after escaping from Egypt. So think about it. All night long, the light shone its brilliance, and it probably illuminated the entire city of Jerusalem. Now imagine the impact of the words said by Jesus in the temple courtyard when he said, I am the light of the world. This image is ingrained in their mind and they're thinking, oh yeah, that light that illuminated the entire city. Jewish religious leaders clearly understood that Jesus proclaimed to be God here. Because the word God, according to Jewish terminology and scripture, was a title that was reserved for one person alone. Guess who would that be? God. When Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, these Bible egghead scholars, you know, the one who studied Bible all the time, Old Testament scriptures, knew that what he meant and hated him all the more. Let me give you one example, and I'll give you the three other scriptures so that you can follow. Go to Psalm 27:1, please. Right before the book of Proverbs, right after book of Job in the Old Testament. Psalm 27, very famous verse. Verse 1. The Lord is my what? Light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 60:19, Job 29:3, Micah 7:8. They're all referring light, God as light. So in this back to John chapter 8, verse 13. In verse 13, the Pharisees were quoting our Lord's own word from the 5:31. But he quickly defudiated their argument. One of the key words in this section is witness. Repeated several times, actually seven times. Jesus made it clear that their witness was not dependable because their judgment was faulty. They judged on the basis of external only, with a mere human judgment. But he judged them on the basis of the spiritual knowledge according to, guess what? Intention of individual hearts. Intention of individual heart and truth. The way they judge, remember the woman who was caught in adultery? What they did was wrong because they didn't do it properly, and or they thought we caught the woman in adultery, but it was nothing more than a setup. It was nothing more than a trap. So it was not the right way to do it. Because they did that, and that proved that they did not understand the law, and they had a twisted, sinful mind. Are you following me? Their mind is a twisted, manipulating the law according to their benefit. We have a plenty of people in this country too, right? Verse 17. It is also written in your law that testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me, nor my Father. If you have known me, you would have known my Father also. This word that Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Here we find that these religious rulers and the Old Testament law expert start to sling the personal slur against Jesus. It was nothing more than deeply cutting in personal insult to Jesus. They referred to his birth. We know who our Father is, but we don't know who your Father is. In other words, we don't believe your miraculous conception, but we think that it was illicit sex. Your mother had illicit sex with somebody before her marriage. Jesus never really answered their question, where is your Father? The word Father used 21 times in this chapter. So Jesus did not avoid the issue, faced it headlong, straight ahead. He knew that the Father was not God, and their Father was not God, but the devil. These people are very religious, yet they were the children of the devil. Do you know someone who is very religious, yet they do everything wrong? Or let me put it this way. People from the Jesus of Latter-day Saints, Mormon, known as Mormon, or Jehovah's Witness people, are they sincere? Yes. Are they religious? Yes. But they are sincerely wrong. Being sincere doesn't mean anything. Being religious doesn't mean anything. Do you understand this? Folks, do you understand? Being religious doesn't mean anything to God. It might impress some people. Only thing matter to God is, do you have Jesus in your heart as your Savior and Lord? Amen. If not, you don't have a squat. You just have a lot of religious thing in your life. Whenever Jesus taught the spiritual truth, his listeners interpreted it in material or physical way. The light of God was unable to penetrate the darkness of their minds because they chose to hide inside of their spiritual dungeon so that they didn't have to hear. You'd think that a blind sinner would welcome the light, but such is not the case all the time. Coming to the true light brought the conflict as the powers of the darkness oppose it. They'd rather make fun of the gospel and the truth of God in the Bible since they choose not to comprehend by their own choices. How tragic that this expert in the law did not even know their own Messiah who stood in front of them. You see, they claim that they know the law of God, but they did not know the God of their law. Do you know the Savior of Jesus Christ, the Savior Jesus Christ that this Bible talks about? You can carry this Bible all you want. You can be religious. That doesn't mean anything unless this Bible goes through your life. You can go through this Bible 100,000 times. Matter of having Savior in your heart. These people did not have. They had the Bible knowledge, but they did not have a love of God. Verse 21, please. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from the beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, note that word, you will die in your sin. Jesus claimed that he belonged to the totally different world from the Jewish religious leaders. He had come from the presence of God the Father, and he explained to them only by faith they would have access to God the Father. Listen, please. An insurmountable yet simple barrier separated Jesus and the religious rulers. What would that be? Their unbelief. The attitude of unbelief is not only unwillingness to accept the statement of fact, but also it is a resistance, willful resistance to the revelation and the truth of God in Christ. Their unbelief would only lead them to eternal damnation in hell, as it happened to any other unbelievers. I was doing funeral. And that particular person who died was a lady, wife of a federal agent. And she was Catholic, but at the end she accepted Christ in her heart. So I was explaining that to the people who were attending the service. She went to heaven because she received Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. When I said that, her sister interrupted. She said out loud, she said, no, she's Catholic. She went to heaven because she is a Catholic. So I said, this is a really awkward situation. In the middle of the funeral service, this conversation is going back and forth. So I said, it's not a matter of a Catholic or a Protestant. This is a matter of a personal relationship. She was mad at me. After the service, and she said, you want to apologize to our mother. And then she stormed out. Their mother came up to me and she said, she thanked me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Listen to me, please. I'm not saying all the Catholics are unbelievers. There are Catholics who are absolutely born again because they received Jesus Christ into their hearts as a Savior and Lord. I don't have a problem with them. And there are a lot of Protestants who are going to go to hell. They claim that they are Protestant, they claim that they are Christian, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. It doesn't matter what you claim. It matters what you have in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Whose mind the gods of this age has, what? Blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on. Did you get that? Thomas Paine, very influential as an intellect and as yet an atheist in early America. He wrote many books, especially his most famous one is The Age of Reason. On his deathbed, he said this. I'm going to read it to you, I'm sure. This is so good. All right, listen carefully, please. I would give the world if I had them that The Age of Reason, his book, had not been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me. This is the atheist speaking. Oh, God, what have I done to suffer so much? And then he said, but there is no God. If there should be, what will become of me hereafter? Stay with me for God's sake. This is on his deathbed, and people standing around him, but he cannot really see them in his mind. His eyes are kind of shut. Stay with me for God's sake. Send even a child to stay with me, for it is hell to be alone. For, get this, guys, for if the devil had an agent, I have been that one. Wow. Verse 24, again, go back to verse 24. Again, Jesus proclaimed that God himself, and many people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be a God in the Gospels anywhere. Let me show you. Obviously, that person does not know anything about the Word of God. Verse 24, go back there. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sin, for if you do not believe that, what does it say? I am he. You will die in your sins. Notice that that word he is italicized in your Bible. And you may say, why the rest of them is not italicized and only that word? Actually, in original manuscript, the Greek manuscript does not have that word he. But editor of your Bible publishing company add that for our own understanding. I am, if he just stop at I am, we may not get it. So he's I am he. So let's take that out and we will read again. Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sin, for if you do not believe that, what? I am, you will die in your sin. And you say, I'm still not getting it. He didn't say, I'm God. You got to understand the word I am. Okay? When I taught you guys an incident with a woman, Jesus had an encounter with a woman, a Samaritan woman in chapter 4 at the well. And go there. Instead of just talking about it, why don't we go there? Chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, what? Am he. Again, there's a he is italicized. When Moses found the burning bush in the wilderness, in the mountain, he received an assignment from the Lord. Burning bush is talking. It was not burning down to the ground, but it was a continuous burning. He thought it was odd. So he's looking at it, and all of a sudden, burning bush starts to become a speaking bush. It's not President Bush, just bush. God is telling him, you take my people out of Egypt. Instead of saying yes, he came up with all this lame excuse, one after another, because he's comfortable doing what he's been doing. What was his job? It was exciting? No, it was a boring, mundane shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep. He had all the excitement in Egypt, so he doesn't care for excitement. He just likes to remain mundane. Whenever he came up with an excuse, God had him covered. When he ran out of excuse, he said, okay, I'll go. But when I go, they will ask me, who sent me? Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. That would be second book. Chapter 3, verse 13. Then Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you, they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And the Lord said to Moses, what? I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of God, I am has sent me to you. That's it. One of the many names of God is I am. Not I was, not I will be, always present tense. In Greek, it is ego, I me. God's I am shows that he is above the time limit. When we converse with one another, I say, you know, when I was this, when I was that, and I will do this kind of thing, right? We always have to change the tense of the time because we cannot always remain in present. We are limited by time. But God is above time. In other words, he is always I am. Jesus, here we find Jesus using the same very name as the Lord God used when he answered Moses' question. And the Jewish religious rulers understood what he meant. Let's go back to the chapter 8, verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of God, see how he said, you lift up the Son of God, Son of Man rather, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. As he spoke this word, many believed in him. It seems incredible and ridiculous that this religious expert should ask him, as Jesus, who are you? The Lord already told them with evidence and witnesses. And he is the Son of God. Yet they deliberately reject every one of them. So what he's saying here is like, I already told you who I am. Since you're rejecting those things, why should I tell you another thing? Jesus emphasized the point again. His words are from the God the Father. So if the Pharisee had a hard time with Jesus, they have no idea what the Father is speaking. At the same time, Jesus showed us his complete submissiveness to the God the Father here, as well as verse 28 and 29. After all, Jesus is God himself, but he only spoke what he heard from the Father. Then somebody will ask this. Does it mean that Jesus had to learn from the Father? Yes and no. Yes, he had to learn as the Son. At the same time, no, he's God himself. There's nothing for him to learn. How does that work? I have no idea. You ask him when you get to heaven. From verse 28, Jesus spoke about his own death, when he would be lifted up on the cross. The word translated lifted up has a dual meaning. Number one, lifted up in crucifixion. And number two, lifted up in exaltation and glorification. Jesus often combined the two because he saw his crucifixion in terms of glory, not just suffering. Go to John chapter 17, please. Verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lift up his eyes to heaven. He's speaking and he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. In what way? In crucifixion? All right. Jesus never became God, nor did he ever cease to be God. His deity, which means his divine lordship, the fact that he was God, he was pre-creation, pre-human, pre-earthly, pre-Bethlehem, pre-Mary. He was God before he was born on the earth, and he remained God after he became a man. There is not a one moment he ceased to be God. And some people think that, well, Jesus became a God at the Mount of Transfiguration. No, he just revealed that. He just revealed a little bit of his deity in glimpse moment. Moment of a glimpse. He never ceased to be God. Do you understand that? He never became a God. He was, is, and will be God all the time. That's why he says, I am. Jesus was completely submissive to God the Father, so that we can follow his example. Submission to God means following his command. Many believers claim that they are submissive to God. But in reality, they are only submissive to God in the area they like. In the area they don't like, they don't want to be submissive to God. I talked with one person. He said, you know, I can go along with all the things that you talked about, except going to see movies. In other words, he liked to go see movies that scratched his carnal desires. So he's not submissive to certain area while he's submissive to certain the other areas. Either you are submissive to God altogether, you are not. Either you are following God altogether, you don't follow God. Either you take the Word of God completely or you don't take the Word of God completely. Did you notice what Jesus said? Either you are for me or what? There's no gray area. So make up your mind, folks. Either you're going to follow God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and your body, or you don't follow God at all. You cannot pick and choose as you want. I said this before, I'll say it again. Following God is not a buffet course. You take the whole thing. John 14:15, please. Jesus speaking. If you love me, what does he say? Keep my commandment. Be obedient to God. Follow God. Two applications. Number one, people love either the light, that is Jesus, or darkness, that is Satan. And this love controls their actions and their eternal destination. Choose your love and eternal destination. Second application. To follow the Lord Jesus means to believe on him, to trust him, and the result are life and light for the believers. The unbelievers are walking in darkness because they love darkness. Have you been in the place? It's a really run-down place, and you open up the cupboard, all of a sudden, roaches running away from you. Have you been in there? I've been in there. And you're thinking, is that your home? No, it's not. What am I saying? Those roaches love to stay in darkness because they like to stay in darkness. Some people like to stay in darkness by their own choice. Now you have to make up your time. I'm making that position. You have to make up your mind. Either you choose light, that is Jesus Christ, or you choose darkness because you like what you've been doing. You can have a religion, but you cannot have that relationship that will give you simple. Remember what I said? You cannot cross to the other side with your unbelief.